just a moment. Let's read a few verses back again in Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Appreciate my King James Bible. Appreciate God's holy word and what it is to us, and how that it helps us along life's way. Think about where you'd be tonight if you didn't have a word from God. Amen. Some would say, hang your hat on. We're hanging more than our hat on this thing. Amen. I'm hanging all that I am. My whole life is hung on God's word. And my eternity, I have hung it and staked it upon that the word of God is true. And if it's faithful, and I'm glad we can trust it tonight in these days. Psalm 89, I'm going to read just a few verses. In fact, I want to read down to the verses that we want to try to pick up on here this evening and preach from. And we'll trust that the Lord will help us. Verse number one, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness, amen. Let me go back there. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness round about thee. Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are thy habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. I hope I can get to that tonight. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength. And in thy favor our horns shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. And we'll leave off our reading there tonight. You can be seated. Let's pray together one more time and ask the Lord to open this text of Scripture to us. Heavenly Father, thank you again tonight for the privilege we have to enter in the house of God to pray and seek your face. Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, as we now have come time to the expounding of the Word of God, and Lord, you'd make this text come alive, Lord, in our hearing. Lord, the truths that are contained here, that, Lord, how you've opened it to our heart. Lord, help us, Lord, to communicate that in an effective way to the people of God. We'd confess tonight that, Lord, if left to our own abilities, Lord, we won't be able to do that. And so I pray, Lord, the Spirit of the Lord would make connection of truth from thy word to our heart. Lord, from our heart, may it flow through our life. Lord, I pray this evening, Lord, in all things, Lord, the Word and Jesus Christ would have preeminence tonight. Lord, as we study these doctrines, Lord, may it be, Lord, effectual, Lord, not just in the service, but, Lord, in the ongoing and furtherance of our walk with God. Lord, help it to make a connection. And Lord, may it be a challenge. May it, Lord, stir us tonight. May it excite us. Lord, may the Word of God and the truth contained in this psalm, Lord, change us, Lord, not just for time, but Lord, for eternity. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Real quickly, let's run through and get caught up on the ground that we covered on last week. It'll bring us to the thought that we want to give to you this evening. We understand that this psalm, according to the heading, has been written by Ethan the Ezrahite. We believe that to be, according to our study, another name for the man Jeduthun. We've done some studies on him already, but he is one of the three main worship leaders established in Jerusalem, also being Asaph and Heman. They were established there in the realm of Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, and served there, being established in the days of David, served in the days of David, served in the days of Solomon. And we believe Jeduthun himself likely served on into the days of Rehoboam. He had been a very, very old man in those days, but we believe that he served on into those days. In fact, it's as an old man in the days of Rehoboam that I personally believe this psalm has been penned. Jeduthun, or Ethan the Ezrahite, as the heading would make mention, is a man that's seen the glory of God in the days of David. He's seen the mighty hand of God displayed in many different ways. He's a man that in the days of Solomon had been eyewitness to the building of the temple and the house of God. He's seen the glory of God fall upon it in the days of Solomon when it was dedicated and sanctified to God. He's seen the fire fall. He heard the voice of God. He's seen the glory show up. And so Jeduthun has been eyewitness to a lot of grand and glorious things in the land of Israel, and in particular, the city of God, the city of Jerusalem. And yet, in the days of Rehoboam, he's going to see a great downward spiral. And so Jeduthun is a man that he's seen the highest highs, and as we come to Psalm 89, he is a man that is going to see some of the lowest lows come into the city of Jerusalem. And we understand the days of Rehoboam, that the kingdom was divided. We understand sin has begun to creep into the land in both factions of the division, that being the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And sin has crept in, and sin is throughout the land. And the judgment of God is going to come upon them for that. And it's with that in mind this psalm has been penned. This psalm is known, you remember last week we said it's known as the covenant psalm, as it deals with the Davidic covenant. The Lord made a covenant with King David and with his seed, and that covenant was going to be forever. We understand that this psalm settles in upon the themes of that covenant as it deals with God's mercy and God's faithfulness. God had made a lot of covenants in the Word of God, and God is merciful and God is faithful to every covenant God has ever made. And so we could talk about the Adamic covenant that God made with Adam. We could talk about the Noahic covenant that God made with Noah. We could talk about the Abrahamic covenant that God made with Abraham, the Mosaic covenant that had been made to Moses under the law. And then there was the Davidic covenant that we have that is emphasized in Psalm 89. We don't believe in replacement theology as some would believe that God has, amen, made a covenant and then replaced it with another covenant. We don't believe that. Amen. God ain't ever lied in any covenant. God is going to be faithful and has been faithful and merciful to every covenant he has made. And what I'll just say tonight without getting into, our doctrine about covenants and the covenants God has made, amen, whether it be Adam or David, every covenant is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I have a covenant that God has made with us. And it is made with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so tonight when we consider the Davidic covenant, even though the particulars do not pertain to you and I, we do understand that there is much to be learned as it relates to relationship, a man's relationship to God. I won't re-preach all this, but this is emphasized in verses 19, where we left off there in the end of verse number 18, verses 19 through the end of the Psalm. This relationship is magnified. And so in this relationship, David and his seed were chosen by the Lord. We preached on that last week and how you and I, in a sense, have been chosen by the Lord, that we are God's chosen people, not in the fatalistic electional doctrines of the Calvinists, but we understand that God came to where you and I were, and the gospel was preached, and by the gift of faith and repentance, we turned to God and made a choice for God. God, in turn, made a choice for us. And we are God's, it can be said, we are God's chosen people. And as the church and the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've entered into relationship to Him, He chose to have that relationship with us. He wants to have it with all creation. He wants to have that with all men. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and He would choose everybody, and has made a choice that all men could be saved. All men are not going to be saved. Amen. But you and I, thank God, are a part, amen, of that called out crowd, called out of the world, chosen, amen, by God in Christ. And so we are saved tonight. And then David and his seed in this relationship relates to you and I, and that they were cared for by the Lord. Verses 24 through 29. And God was going to meet their needs. God was going to let them cry to Him. And so, my friend, you and I as well are cared for by the Lord. We understand that David and his seed were cautioned by the Lord. Yes, you have been chosen, and yes, you're being cared for, but in light of that, don't turn from the ways of God. Don't forsake His commandments. And if you do, the caution is simply, amen, found that God will visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. And so the caution has been sent out. We understand David and his seed were comforted by the Lord, that should God ever have to chasten them, amen. Verse 33 gives you and I a nevertheless. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from Him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. And so He's telling them about their relationship and the covenant God has made with them. Amen. You're chosen. You're cared for. You've been cautioned. And so, amen, live for God. You don't have an excuse not to live for God and do right. But when you fail, God's faithfulness will not fail. And when you have made a blunder of things, thank God, and God has said, amen, nevertheless, His love will remain intact. He won't throw you away forever. His anger will be but for a moment. And if you'll respond in a positive light to the correction of God, there is comfort that you and I can receive. And that's found in verses 33 through 37. And then what brings us to our thought is found in verses 38 through 51, where we find David and his seed in this relationship. They are indeed chastened by the Lord. And this is what brings us into the context of why Jeduthun is writing Psalm 89. We understand that in this text, that there is the sense that God has begun to move with the rod against Jerusalem, against God's anointed, against David's seed, that being namely King Rehoboam, who has drug Israel into a sense of idolatry, in a sense of forsaking the ways of God. We'll not take time to run all the cross-references, as we did on last week, 2 Chronicles 12, 1 and 2, cross-reference in 1 Kings 14, 22, 23, and 24, we find that chastisement was in this psalm is the result of sin. That Rehoboam forsook the ways of God. Rehoboam left the ways of God. And all of Israel, the Bible said, and all of Israel with him. And so there had been a forsaking of the ways of God. And God sent the king of Egypt along with other nations to come against them. And they ransacked the land. They now have come to Jerusalem. And Jeduthun is eyewitness to all of this that is going on. He's witness to the loss of power. He's witness to the loss of blessing. He is witness, as he writes in this psalm, of the fact that it seems like they're going to be brought down to the grave. And God sends a man of God to preach to Rehoboam and to Israel. And he begins to lay hold into them and give them the truth. And the reason the king of Egypt has come against them is because of their sin. And the man of God, the prophet, says plainly, amen, the reason he showed up with his big army and is getting ready to take us down is that you have transgressed God. And that crowd said, blessed be the Lord. Amen. The Lord do what seemeth right unto him. In other words, the Lord is faithful. And the Lord has chosen us. The Lord has cared for us all these years. And the Lord cautioned us about this very thing. And so they throw themselves down to the mercy of the Lord. And in turn, God lifts the judgment. And God eases the blow that has been against him. And all of this is tied in to what I believe is found in the closing verse of Psalm 89. Amen. The closing verse of Psalm 89 is verse 52, where it said, blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. And what is interesting to me about that verse, Brother Mike, is that he has been dealing with the depths and the hurt and the affliction and the pain of the chastening rod that has been against them. And it's like from verses 38 through 51. Amen. It just gets worse. And he's saying, how much more can we take? Lord, it doesn't seem like we can bear up anymore. And the minute that it gets there, Jeduthun says, amen, blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. God do what is right in his eyes. Amen, it ain't God's fault that God had to whip us. Amen, it's our fault. We're the ones that got crossed up. And we're the ones that did what God cautioned us not to do. And so when he said, blessed be the Lord God forevermore. Amen and amen. What he is literally doing is blessing the Lord, amen, from the place of chastisement, from the woodshed, so to speak. And that gives us our thought of blessing the Lord from the woodshed. Could we bless God from the woodshed? I think we could tonight if we realize, amen, that oftentimes what we face and what we endure, amen, from the hand of God, that chastisement, amen, it is our fault and it is not the fault of God. Amen. And so in that, amen, we can bless the Lord and say, amen, whatever God does to me, it'll be right. Whatever God brings into my life by chastisement, amen, I can bless Him knowing that God is going to do right. And so we find in Psalm 89 the blessing of the Lord from the woodshed. And what is interesting to me, at least the way it seems the Spirit of the Lord has broken it down in my heart, is that the opening 18 verses really are the blessing that are given and shows how we can bless the Lord. Even when we've got crossed up with God in sin, even when God has had to move against us, even when God has had to send blows upon our life, how is it that we can find a blessing for the Lord from the woodshed. Well, let me give you, I don't know, I got four or five things down here. Amen. Real quick, then I'll be done. We'll get you out here by 8 o'clock. Amen. Number one, notice our remembrance in the chastening. Our remembrance in the chastening. If we're going to bless the Lord from the woodshed, there must be a remembrance in the chastening. Look back with me in verse number 89. Here's a man watching the chastening of the Lord. Here's a man that is watching this covenant relationship. It not only involved a choosing and a caring, but also a cautioning and a chastisement. And here's how this psalm begins. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Amen. I mean, Jerusalem is taking a whipping. And Jerusalem has the anger of God against it. And Jeduthun rises as an old man and says, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Amen. May I say that he begins his psalm by way of remembrance. And the remembrance, let me just give it to you and I'll enlarge upon it. Amen. But the remembrance is twofold. The remembrance is that the Lord is merciful and that the Lord is faithful. Amen. The Lord is merciful, and therefore whatever God does to me in this time of the woodshed, amen, it won't be what I deserve. Amen. I deserve everything I'm getting, but amen, we remember that the Lord is merciful and that the Lord doesn't give us everything that we deserve. Amen. You understand tonight, if we all got what we deserve, we'd be in hell tonight. That's exactly where we'd be. We'd be alienated from God forever and ever. But Jeduthun begins his psalm. Amen. Blessing the Lord from the woodshed, remembering that the Lord is merciful. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. In other words, he said, amen, I ain't always done right, but I know this much, God's always been merciful. Amen, he should have let us go a long time ago. Amen, he should have killed us all a long time ago. Amen, but we're alive tonight to be able to sing what? Amen, of the remembrances of the mercy of the Lord. I'm glad tonight when God has to whip me. Amen, I remember the Lord is merciful, and it's of his mercies we're not consumed. It's of his mercy that I drew my next breath. It's of his mercy tonight that we'll live another day. It's of his mercy he gives grace. Amen, to give a time to repent and turn from our sin. Amen, it's of his mercies that are in Christ. And we find a way, as we'll see in a moment, amen, to recover from our sin. Amen, our remembrance in the chastening. Remember when you're in the woodshed, amen, that the Lord is merciful. And so when the rod is being laid to your back, and it seems like God is against you, amen, what do you do? Amen, just start singing of the mercies of the Lord. Amen, go telling God how merciful that he is. And you know what you'll find? Amen, God will be blessed from the woodshed. Amen, he not only said the Lord is merciful, and he remembered that the Lord is faithful. Amen, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. And so, Brother Riley, what he says is, amen, why God is giving us, amen, what we're getting now, we deserve it. Amen, but he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take my mouth and I'm not going to complain. I'm just going to begin to brag on how faithful God's been in my life. Amen, I ain't been faithful, he can say. And Rehoboam ain't been faithful, he can say. And David's seed has not lived up to their end of the bargain. Amen, but you know how he's going to bless God from the woodshed? He's remembering that God has been faithful. And I tell you tonight, when you and I are not faithful, that God is faithful, and you ought to remember that. Amen. And when it feels like God's whipping the daylights out of you, amen, just go singing of God being merciful and sing of God being faithful. Amen. You may be surprised what that does to ease the blow and to get the attention of God tonight. Amen. But if you're going to do that, you're going to have to remember, amen, these things. He magnifies mercy and faithfulness in verse 2. Amen. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Lord, you're whipping us now. And Lord, we know we deserve it. Lord, at the end of the day, there is no end to your mercy. Lord, we've experienced it in days gone by. But Lord, if I'm remembering all you've said about your mercy, it's going to endure the whole generation. And Lord, we ain't drew out the last drop out of the well of mercy. It's going to be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. And so there's a remembrance in the chastening. Amen. Remember, God has made a covenant. Amen. Remember, God loves you. Are you listening tonight? Amen. Even when God is whipping on us, He loves us. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. And so, Brother A.L., tonight, when I'm thinking about that, I must remember tonight, amen, in that relationship and even in the woodshed, that God is a merciful and faithful God to me. Number two tonight, not only our remembrance and the chastening, but if we're going to bless the Lord from the woodshed, notice in verses 5 through 7, our reverence for the chastening. Our reverence for the chastening. Look in verse number 7 in particular. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. And a lot I could say in connecting verses 5 and 6 with this. But let me just briefly say tonight, amen, if we're going to bless the Lord from the woodshed, there ought to be some reverence for the chastening. Amen. We ought to give some respect to God. Amen. We ought to have some fear of the Lord in our life. You want to bring blessing and honor and glory to God in the woodshed? Amen. Can I remind you that when God chastens us, amen, it is for our own good. It is to produce fear and reverence in our life for God. And we are absolutely missing that in this generation. There's not much fear of the Lord anymore. People sin and don't fear God. People, my friend, get engaged in things they've got no business in doing. And you say, preacher, how do you know they don't fear God? Amen, because they just keep right on going on down the line. And what Jeduthun is saying is when we understand the Lord is chastening us, that is the time that men ought to wake up and begin to fear God and change their ways. That, and especially among the assembly of the saints, that, and when chastisement is coming against us, that ain't the time to stiffen your neck, and that ain't the time, amen, to go headlong into sin. That is when you ought to be humble and fear God enough to allow Him to make the necessary changes in our life. Amen. And so there's to be reverence for the chastening. What I can say there, amen, let me say a word about this. We bless the Lord and from the woodshed, not only in our remembrance in the chastening and reverence for the chastening, but in our recovery from the chastening. Amen. And can I say that's really what chastisement's all about? Chastisement ain't just about it, the Lord trying to make life difficult on us. Chastisement's about the Lord taking us from a path where we veered off course and allowing us to recover from that and get us back on the straight and narrow way. Amen. You say, how do you know that? Listen to these verses for a moment tonight. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Now notice what he said, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Amen. Can I say tonight that the Lord, if we're going to recover tonight, when in sin and chastisement, we must understand that we need not think the power and grace of God cannot help us. Amen. In fact, when we get in sin, we can't get ourselves right. When you've got, and listen, when you begin to do some things that violate the law of God and transgress what cautions God has made in our life, listen, you can't get yourself right with God if you wanted to. Amen. You say, well, how in the world do I recover? How in the world do I get back to where that I should be? Amen. That's what chastisement is for. That is God's way, amen, of bringing you and I back to a recovery from what sin has done in our life. I love how Jeduth in words his. Amen. And I don't have all this outlined in a real, what I would call a real exegetical way, but amen, I would say tonight, according there to verse number 8, amen, that in this recovery he can calm, amen, he can calm your troubled soul. Amen. Does verse number 9 not speak to you and I, the Lord Jesus Christ? He said that he is able to what? He is able to rule the raging of the sea when the waves thereof arise, thou, and the word is stillest them. Amen. In the Lord's earthly life, what them disciples found was a storm and a raging and a wind blowing. And they said, Master, carousel not that we perish. And what did he do? He arose from his sleep, stood on the bow of the ship. Amen. And rebuked the wind. And what did he say? Amen. He said, peace, be still. And the word stillness is interesting. If you look it up, you'll find that it means to call out loud to. In other words, amen, that's what the Lord did. Amen, there in the storm with the disciples, and that is what the Lord does in our life when the sea is raging it, and the waves are tossing us to and fro and arising in our lives, and it seems like, amen, the sin and the chastisement is more than we can bear. Amen, can I tell you tonight, amen, the Lord can recover our lives. He can arise and still the waves and the storm, and we can find help in God. Amen, thou hast broken Rahab in pieces. He's recalling Egypt. By the way, Egypt is the one that has come against him. Amen. It was Egypt that God set them free from out of bondage in the days of Moses. And now Egypt has come back, amen, into the land of Canaan, the people of God. And now, amen, is seeking their destruction again. And it seems like God, through chastisement, is going to let it happen. But Jeduthun says, Lord, amen, you've already broken them down. You've already slain them. You've already proven your power over Egypt. And now, Lord, we understand that though the enemy has come in and the enemy is trying to slay us, and Lord, you are able once again to bring victory. You are able once again to set us free. You are able, Lord, once again, give us the help that we need. And so he's not only able to calm your troubled soul, amen, but he is able to break the chains of sin in your life. And I say that again is what chastisement's all about. If God didn't chasten us, you imagine what kind of shape you and I'd be in this evening. Imagine the vices that would be in your life. Amen. And so we must respond to chastening by letting the Lord recover us. He talks about the heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them, the north and the south. He speaks of Tabor and Hermon, which speaks of mountains to the east and to the west. And really, really, when you add verse 13, thou hast a mighty arm, strong as a hand, and high is thy right hand. Really what the Lord is saying, He's able to recover you. He's able to reach you. Amen. No matter how far you've gone or what direction you've gotten off course. Amen. The Lord has a mighty arm that is able to reach you where you are. Amen. You've not gone too far, and I'm glad tonight. Amen. Listen, you say, preacher, I'm awful messed up and God's with the daylights out of me. Amen. I don't care what direction you've gone, how far you've gone, if you're truly saved. Amen. The Lord loves you enough to chasten you, and chastisement is a reminder that God can reach us no matter where we are. Amen. Notice with me here, our rejoicing after the chastening. I love verse number 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. I'll come back to that in a second. He says here, verse 17 speaks of the glory of our, that the Lord is the glory of our strength. It is in His favor our horns shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense and the Holy One of Israel our salvation. Verse number 16 is what I was looking for. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. You ever recognized when you get in sin how your joy gets gone? David spake about this. In fact, the very one who God made the covenant with, amen, he got in sin, and in his prayer of repentance, remember what he prayed, restore unto me the what? The joy of my salvation. Sin and chastisement took the joy out of his life. Now you can fake it and you can try to work it up and you can, amen, put on a good show. But can I say, when there is sin in our life, it robs us of joy. But Jeduthun said, Lord, you're whipping us, but we're going to bless you. And when all this is over, we're going to rejoice. We're going to rejoice in the Lord all the day long. The statement that is used there, Sister Debbie, blessed are they who know the joyful sound. Y'all know the song. We sing it from time to time. The first verse goes, we have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. That song, that line of that verse is from Psalm 89. What does that deal with? We understand when we look at the Word of God, the Bible talks about make a what? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. When we come into the Lord's presence, we're to do so making a joyful sound. Amen. What is the joyful sound? I think if we was to illustrate this, we do so two different ways, either with the burnt offering that would be offered under the law when Israel had sinned and they would bring their burnt offering. When that burnt offering, all that God said had to be done to atone for their sin, how would they know that their sins had been atoned for? You know what they do? They would blow a trumpet. And all the people, the blowing of that trumpet, they would lift their arms and they would shout to the Lord, knowing that their sins had been atoned for by the blood. Amen. Could we say, blessed are they who know the joyful sound? Those that have had their joy ripped away because of sin. Those that, my friend, joy has robbed them, amen, and they feel the chastening hand of God upon their life. In repentance, they begin to turn to God. They begin to turn from their ways. They begin to respond with blessing the Lord from the woodshed, and God reaches down and cleanses them from their sin and turns them from their way and recovers them out of the snare that they've been in. And they hear that trumpet of forgiveness sounded. Amen. What a blessing that is. You know what that does? That restores the joy back in their life. The other way this could be referenced is also under the law was known as the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years would be a year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee, everything that had been taken due to debts that had been rung up, lands that had been taken, homes that had been taken, things that had been robbed from people in the year of Jubilee, all those things are going to be given back. And on the start of that 50th year, Brother Mike, they would blow that trumpet sounding that all the debt that had been rung up, all the things that people owed, all those things, all them things were forgiven. The slates were wiped clean, Brother Larry, and they received back what they had lost over those 49 years. And I say sin robs us and runs up a debt, and I know Christ paid all that at Calvary, and in Christ, amen, we never in Christ's position, we never pay for sin. But practically in this life, buddy, we can run up some things and make a mess of things. Amen. But I'm glad if we'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ, there can be a time of jubilee, a time of joy, a time of hearing, amen, the trumpet blow that Christ has wiped the slate clean again and set us back on a way to enjoy our inheritance that we have in Him. I'm thankful tonight for the rejoicing. There's rejoicing in that text. They're going to rejoice in His light. Amen. His light, His glory is going to be our strength. We could talk about that. And I got a lot I could give you. I'm done. I don't know what's happened to me tonight. Just preaching, something's happened inside of me. Y'all pray for me. But the closing thought of verse 18, amen, they said the God of Israel is going to be our King. You know when you can really rejoice is when you've got crossed up in sin and God has had to chasten us. You know where you really begin to rejoice is when you return back to that relationship, to the Lordship of Christ in your life. Amen. When you quit trying to be the boss, when you and I quit trying to be the king, when you and I quit trying to be in charge, that's what gets us in trouble in the first place. We return back through chastening to that walking in the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our life, letting Him have charge, letting Him have control, letting Him direct our path. Thank God you'll be able to rejoice again. Amen. Amen. Blessing the Lord from the woodshed. Amen.